Blog Talk Radio.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. Then you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted the fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me. But wanting my cake and eat it too. And wanting it both ways, fame made me a balloon. Cause my ego inflated when I blew sleep. And it was confusing, cause all I wanted to do was be the Bruce Lee of loosely abused ink. Use it as a tool when I blew steam. Woo! Hit the lottery, ooh wee. But with what I gave up to get, it was bittersweet. It was like winning a used me. I'm lying cause I think I'm getting so huge I need a shrink. I'm beginning to lose sleep. One sheep, two sheep, going cuckoo and kooky is cool key. But I'm actually weirder than you think, cause
I'm friends with the monster.
Somebody once told me to seize the moment and don't squander it. Cause you never know when it all could be over tomorrow, so I keep conjuring.
Sometimes I wonder where these thoughts come from.
Yeah, ponder it, do you wonder? No wonder you're losing your mind the way it wanders.
I think you've been wandering off down yonder and stumbled on to Japan conjuring. Cause I need an interventionist to intervene between me and this monster and save me from myself and all this conflict. Cause of everything that I love killing me and I can't conquer it. My OCD talking me in the head, keep knocking. Nobody's home, I'm sleepwalking. I'm just relaying what the voice in my head saying. Don't shoot the messenger, I'm just
friends with
the
monster.
One day that I walk amongst you a regular civilian. But until then, Trump get killed and I'm coming straight at MC's blood gets spilled and I'm taking back to the days that I get on a Dre track. Give every kid who got played that pump the feeling and shit to say back to the kids who played them. I ain't here to save the fucking children, but if one kid out of 100 million who are going through a struggle feels it and relates, that's great. It's payback. Russell Wilson falling way back in the draft, turn nothing into something, still can make that. Draw in the gold dump, I will spin Rumpelstiltskin in a haystack. Maybe I need a straight jacket, face facts. I am nuts for real, but I'm okay with that. It's nothing, I'm still friends with
the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy. I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed.
Get along with
edition of Clapback with yours truly, Wah. Before we get on to the show and get on with the interview, I want to explain about what happened with this Tuesday show. The person that was supposed to do it, we have to rearrange another date to do that. So if you go on to Clapback on Facebook, you can see the scheduling and you can figure it out from there. I'm still a little under the weather, but at least I'm feeling a little bit better. So I was just like, we have to do this anyway, so don't want to change it or anything like that. So we're going to talk to today's guest. So, the caller, you're on the air.
Hello, how you doing?
Pretty good. And yourself?
Ah, doing great. Doing great. Great to be here.
I'm glad you are. Explain to everybody who you are and let them know what about you.
Well, my name is Stro, the Maestro of Wrestling, professional wrestler, television film actor as well, formerly of WCW and NWA.
Oh, NWA. So, explain like your time in NWA.
Well, my grand uncle years ago was the original Gorgeous George, him and my grandfather were amateur boxing buddies back in the day before we broke into business, in which, later on, I was in, earlier in my career, I was in the NWA, and then it branched forth into the WCW, in which, I got to meet James Brown, who also knew my grand uncle from years ago and was a big influence on him, guys like him and Muhammad Ali and a lot of sports greats and entertainment greats at that time. So it was great to see and meet somebody that knew my grand uncle from that era.
Oh, and can you explain more about your uncle?
Yeah, he was the one that kind of pioneered and set it off for all professional wrestling, for the popularity of wrestling on television, and which he was very flamboyant with extravagant robes and the way he carried himself, his charisma and persona kind of transcended from pro wrestling into entertainment with Hollywood as well and the sports world. So, I mean, it just he's the guy that pretty much started it all as far as wrestling on television.
Yeah, I was just about to say, it sounds like he was the guy that started it all. So, okay, what got you into wrestling?
Well, wrestling growing up has always been a lifelong passion of mine. I mean, I grew up admiring guys like Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, Harley Race, Lou Thesz, Jack and Jerry Briscoe, Big Cat Ernie Ladd. I mean, the Samoan. I mean, a lot of the greats of that, Les Thornton, Argentina Roca, Bruno Sammartino. I mean, the who's who of the business, and it just and through the years, I had this passion to be a professional wrestler, which I took MMA in Japan, UWFI, which competitors pride fighting. I wrestled amateurly for the Iowa State Hawkeyes as well, and in which I went to the professional wrestling industry, which I was trained by Ivan Koloff, one half of Mr. Rick McGrew, Gene Anderson, and Nelson Royal.
How would you say what your training was with them?
It was tough. Very old school. Studied a lot of tape, went through a lot of rigors that a lot of us know that go through that type of training. And it was very grateful and very helpful what lied ahead. So, I mean, they prepared me greatly, and I can't thank him enough for it to this day.
Right, like all the scars, bumps, and bruises that's going on when it comes to training, so I do get that. Your first ever wrestling show that you have went to, like, was that like one of the things that probably helped you like choose the path that you're going to now?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Seen some live events younger growing up. Matter of fact, one of my first wrestling matches I got to see was Rocky Johnson taking on Ivan Koloff, and which was ironic because later on Ivan was one of the guys to help train me to be in the business, and later on meeting Rocky Johnson as well, and meeting his son Dwayne, who turned out to be the Rock as we are noted of today. It's funny how life felt like that. So it's been really cool.
Okay. Like I said, with your time with, wrestling and all that, what were your accomplishments? If some people that's listening to right now, they probably won't even know. So what were your accomplishments in wrestling?
Well, I mentioned earlier, you know, I dabbled with mixed martial arts and in amateur wrestling. You know, I've been in, I was in Smoky Mountain Wrestling when it launched years back, Jim Cornette. I was known then as Robbie Eagle. Then I was in, I was known as Gorgeous George III for the longest time. USWA, WWC, out of Puerto Rico, AAA, teaming with Jake Stig Roberts in Mexico, Triple Mania. And virtually traveled the world as Gorgeous George III. And then, you know, I arrived in WCW. That's where I became the Maestro, which, you know, once again, traveling the world there with WCW. And you know, they had the agreement, they were in New Japan and everything. So they were all over the place. And yeah, I've quite a bit of history there.
Okay, you did mention you did start in WCW as well. So your time in WCW, like, how would you describe it?
You know, it was like when I was there, they were arguably the greatest company going at the time. They were, you know, their rivals were WWE, and I mean, they were going neck to neck with WWE and doing really well business wise. And I was there during a great time. And I mean, back, you know, they had Monday Night Nitro, was doing really good. Even the resurgence of the NWO time, and then the Goldberg push and everything. And it was great to be there with like arguably the greatest talent in the world, from wrestlers and different fighting styles from all over the world, as well as the like legends like Ric Flair and Roddy Piper and Macho Man Randy Savage and Hulk Hogan. It was a great time.
Okay, was that like persuade you to get a choice to like do WCW? Like, was that like some of the reason that just made you persuade to like choose WCW?
Well, I was doing some overseas stuff at the time when I got the call for him to have a tryout for the company, and which, you know, WCW was definitely one of the top companies I definitely wanted to be a part of, you know, just from heritage and, you know, dating back to their old NWA stuff. And so I tried out my tryout matches with Chavo Guerrero Jr., which if anybody knows anything about the Guerrero family, I mean, phenomenal athletes.
Right.
And we had a great match, and, you know, it was just, that was the match that pretty much put me on board those guys, and you know, I'm forever grateful for it.
Okay, like, what you will say your moment was in WCW, would it be that match or would it be something else?
Oh, I had quite a few moments.
We got time.
Oh, yeah, okay. One I, you know, mentioned, of course, was, you know, being involved with the great James Brown. I had a great classic feud with Aristocat Miller, who's a three-time karate heavyweight champion. You know, Buff Bagwell, I've been in Sting, Cactus Jack, Norman Smiley, Flair. I mean, it was like the who's who of the business. So, I mean, it was a great time. And being a part of that talent pool and that WCW alumni family, you know, Dime Dallas Page, I mean, Raven. It was a great time. It really was. And also too, I think one of the matches I had that I could always remember was with Bam Bam Bigelow, in which I really looked up to him because, I mean, he is a guy who's been in the ring with Andre the Giant. You know, he's been in WrestleMania, wrestling Lawrence Taylor, NFL great.
Right.
The being in the ring with him was a big thrill for me as well.
Was there anybody when you was in WCW at the time that you wish you would have, like, went up against that you haven't?
Well, I mean, I crossed a lot of the names off the bucket list there, and I was WCW. I mean, you know, Ric Flair definitely was one. Later on, you know, or, you know, Ricky Steamboat, which was another one as well. I guess, you know, maybe I kind of wanted to do more stuff with like Macho Man and Piper or Hogan, you know, because I was around them all a lot, you know. But it just it's never transpired. But, I mean, it's just one of those things like, I wonder what would have happened if we had, like, a series of matches or a feud or somewhat. You know, that would have been quite interesting. But, I mean, just to be around them, you know, and see them do what they do. And, you know, it was a good learning experience. And, you know, it's always educational being around the very best.
Okay, like just a learning experience, as you say.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, how... And it's, you know, how they do things and how they carry themselves and, you know, and all the entertaining stories. I mean, never a dull moment.
Okay. What would you think, in your opinion, when you was there, just think there at WCW at the time, like, what do you think you would have learned from being there?
Well, it gave me a perspective of what to do and what not to do in business. And as well as, give me a platform to entertain, like, in front of a whole bunch of people, you know, more so the norm. So, I mean, not just for the live arenas, but, like, for the millions watching on TNT and TBS and so forth. So, I mean, it was it gave me the opportunity to do that, as well as travel the world and, you know, see people and see wrestling fans that, you know, you normally don't see. So it was, you know, it was very eye-opening, and I learned a lot as far as business goes and as far as entertainment goes, and it was all around good learning experience.
Okay, what would you want to call, like, because I know, like, it's called, like, sports entertainment and wrestling and stuff, but, like, what would you label the category of, like, what's going on with, like, wrestling today?
You know, even in WWE, I mean, they have the most grueling travel schedule ever. I mean, even though they're not wrestling live, they're doing live events, they're doing PR appearances, they're doing stuff for charity. I mean, it's crazy. They're hilarious. Those guys are never getting their sleep, I tell you. You know, it's, even though it's sports entertainment, I think it's just as much a sport as anything else. I mean, granted, there's the entertainment aspect involved in it as well, but, I mean, they're going 365 days a year where, you know, you got a lot of sports athletes that, you know, that go full blast, but then they have a grace period where they take a break. I mean, pro wrestling is like all year round. So, I mean, they constantly happen to go, go, go.
Right, exactly. Since you said you like to, like, travel the world, like, what would be the type of fans, like, when you travel around the world, like, you would just say, oh, man, that crowd is awesome. I would like to come back and, you know, do this again.
It's really interesting to go to different parts of the world and go to entertain them. Like go to Japan, you know, like, for example, they respect wrestling more or less like they would a tennis match. You know, they'll watch and applaud for different things. Yeah, you know, quite different than they would here. But it's like, you know, they got great wrestling fans in Europe. They got great wrestling fans in Australia, in Canada, in Mexico. I mean, it's just, you know, it's like an international feel that, you know, wrestling has so much of an appeal to everybody. You know what I mean? So, it, you know, it's that's kind of pretty much the common denominator about the whole thing. It's, you know, people from different parts of the world, you know, have a somewhat appreciation for what we do.
Right, so you think, like, Japan would be, like, more, like, in favor of wrestling than, like, probably than around the world?
Yeah, I just have a different way of reacting to it, you know what I mean? Because, I mean, different audiences have different ways of reacting to the wrestling industry, but, you know, and the common part of the whole thing is they all have a sense of appreciation for it, you know, where some fans like the athletics, some fans like the high flying, some fans like the mat wrestling, some fans like the pure six brawls, you know what I mean? So, I mean, we give them a little bit of everything, so they can appreciate a little bit of everything we do.
Okay, which I can understand that. And like with Japan, got their New Japan Pro Wrestling and stuff, like, have you ever catch up on, like, New Japan Pro Wrestling?
Oh, absolutely. I just caught the Wrestle Kingdom pay-per-view not too long ago that New Japan did with the new newly formed Global Force Wrestling. And what a pay-per-view that was. That was awesome, man. It was good to see my boys, the Bullet Club, do their thing that night as well.
Right. How would you compare what New Japan Pro Wrestling to if, let's just say, WCW were still around? How would you, like, compare them to, or how different they would be if, you know, if WCW was still going on?
Well, when I was with WCW, they had the agreement with New Japan where they every now and then they would take tours over to Japan for different events. And, you know, we had some of the best from Japan over there. You know, Ultimo Dragon, for example, and then Jushin Liger would come over, do some events with us and everything. And some of the very best talented wrestlers from Japan. So it's like, you know, it was a good working relationship, I thought, at the time. And because, I mean, the Japanese pro wrestlers, I mean, they're amazing to watch. And, I mean, it, from top to bottom.
Yeah, and that's kind of made what made WCW at the time was different than any other things that was out there at the time. But let's see, another question. Would you compare, I think, like, you've seen how, like, today's wrestling products is right now compared to what it was when you were wrestling at the time. So do you think it's, like, any different, or do you think it's, like, all the same as it is when you were wrestling at the time?
Well, I mean, pro wrestling, just like any other business, it goes through peaks and valley stages. And, you know, when I was there, it was on the rise. And then, you know, shortly after, you notice they kind of declined somewhat. And now I'm seeing kind of a more of a uprising, you know, because WWE is invested now in NXT. They've got the Performance Center down in Florida that's doing well. It's doing good. You're seeing, you know, more Japanese wrestling now. Now you can watch it in the States. I think AXS TV got covered Japan Pro Wrestling. You got the Ring of Honor coming up, rising. You got, you know, Impact Wrestling on the new network now. So it's like, you know, I'm seeing as a slow uprising, you know, pro wrestling to that peak state. So I'm hoping it keeps on going up, and we see more companies do well.
Right. Like where are you? Oh, go ahead.
Oh, like I added Global Force Wrestling, for example. And another guy I failed to mention in Japan, that two guys actually that that I know and respected very well from Japan that I wrestled with was the Great Muta and Masahiro Chono.
Yeah, the Great Muta was awesome. What are you doing now?
Well, I'm still pretty active in the wrestling industry, wrestling around different promotions as well as acting for television and film. I was on last season's Sleepy Hollow on Fox for a few episodes, and March 1st I'll be on an episode of upcoming TV series Secrets and Lies on ABC, and I got a couple movie projects coming up. Dracula's War will be coming out later on this year. The Hollow Oak will be premiering soon. You can catch the trailer on YouTube, and I'm starting some other projects as well. I think one called My Ex-Girlfriend, the Serial Killer. I just had a comedy premiere called Epic Dream. So, yeah, I'm just pretty active in both, you know, TV and film and the wrestling. It's going pretty much full blast.
Well, it seems like you are a busy person. But, like, since you still, like, do wrestling, like, you wrestle, like, in the independent scene?
Yes, pretty much. I'm pretty much all over the place now. So I do a lot of traveling and everything, and wrestle with different promotions.
Okay, like, any favorite promotions that you, like, or been to or anything like that at the moment?
Well, I'm going to make my wrestling debut, actually, in AML Wrestling television taping this Sunday in Johnny and June's in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and the AML Wrestling affiliated with the WrestleCade promotion that runs once a year down in Winston-Salem. And I'm starting Masters of Ring Entertainment, Fan Expo, and Jim Cornette tribute this March 7th. And they're affiliated with a new wrestling promotion called Just Cause Pro Wrestling. And I'm going to be a part of those guys as well. So, and I've got a couple of debuts coming up, one for PCW in West Virginia, February 28th. And I would, like last year, for example, I was Trans South Wrestling Heavyweight Champion down in South Carolina. I'm currently the UPWA Carolinas Heavyweight Champion for, like, the affiliate of New Jersey and the Carolinas. So, you know, quite a few promotions. just in a few.
Yeah. My next question was, I'm going to say, just let people know your upcoming dates or what's going on, but I think you probably filled that one up already. But, let's see, got time for a couple more questions. For people that's, like, you know, started out and they want to get into business, what would be your advice to them?
Keep your body healthy, because your body is your product. You got to keep it healthy. Learn as much as you can from the guys and gals that have been there and done that. Always keep an open mind. You have your good days and your bad days, but be persistent, because persistency pays off. So keep those three things in mind going in. I mean, anything, like anything else, pro wrestling, you got to go at it 110 or nothing at all. So, you know, I mean, that you've got to be focused.
That's good advice. Also, like, is there anybody that you're training or teaching that we should be watching out for in the near future?
Well, in a few months, I'm relaunching my training center down in North Carolina, which I'll be starting, you know, training again. I've got a guy trained down at NXT right now, Scott Dawson, that's doing very well, and he's definitely a name to look out for watching NXT. I got Eric Shea, he's doing great up in the Northern Independence. Mike and Tracy Taylor, who's with Wrestling Cares. Just to name a few names out there, you know. But watch out for those guys, and, you know, I'm sure that's gonna, there'll be more talent that I'll be helping out soon, because, you know, it's all about, you know, giving back, and, you know, I mean, I look forward to helping others, you know, find success.
Right. One more question. Would there be anything you would like to change with the today's product?
I think if anything else, give the wrestling fans more variety, give them more promotions to choose from out there, you know, as far as like bigger companies, because, I mean, there's more than room for competition, and competition brings business. And so, I mean, if anything, I like to see more competition out there for the fans of joy, for the wrestlers. You know, but it's good for the wrestlers, good for fans, good for everybody. So, yeah, more competition, the merrier.
I do agree with that. And with that being said, I appreciate you being on tonight's show. And it was a pleasure.
Oh, thank you so much. God bless you guys.
No problem. You have a good one, and hopefully we'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
No problem. And ladies and gentlemen, and I hope y'all did enjoy that interview. WrestlingFansSpeakOut.com, check out the website. You get the chance to look at upcoming events and stuff like that. If you're looking for news, you can also check news on our WFSO group. Also, follow us on Twitter, and also subscribe to our YouTube page. I do have an upcoming announcement, something I'm going to try, like a little project that I'm going to be doing start next week. But just watch out for a YouTube video that's going to make the announcement about that. So just look for that this coming weekend. So from all of us here, I'm Archer Jones, and thank you for listening to Clapback, and hope you check us out this Monday with WFSO Aftermath. Until then, you guys have a good night.